This morning we're reading from Matthew 12, 38 to 42.
Page 793, the sign of Jonah. Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." He answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up at judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And now something greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will rise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom. And now something greater than Solomon is here."
Billowing up over top of the city of Paris. Notre Dame is on fire. The cathedral there is on fire. You saw, if you were looking at the live feed, you saw hundreds, if not thousands, of people surrounding this spectacle of watching this ancient building catch fire in its roof structure section. And especially the spire, as the steeple as it rose and made Notre Dame over 300 feet tall fall down into the roof structure itself, destroying the roof. And people feared, and people prayed, and people actually sang as the firefighters struggled to contain the fire. And afterwards, you may have caught it maybe a day or two later, caught some pictures from the inside of the structure. A photographer managed to get past the firefighter somehow, and even though it was dangerous to be inside the structure because it had not been cleared yet, a photographer took a photograph. And the photograph, if you recall, is of a golden cross that is shining so brightly in the midst of the blackness, as dark wisps of smoke still billowed up from the fire and from the embers itself. Through the blackness shone this wonderful sign of a golden cross. And when I saw it, I was quite amazed. I was going, "Wow." And maybe you were too, going, "Wow, this is quite the spectacle. And what an amazing sign to see in the midst of this destruction. What an amazing sign to see at this time of the year, with Good Friday on the way and Easter Sunday on the way. What an amazing thing." And indeed, the news reports picked up on it. They said, "This is an amazing sign. We have a sign of hope here." And I was going, "Yes, a sign of hope. This is awesome." But it was a sign of hope that we're going to rebuild. And I thought, you missed the point. You missed it. We're going to rebuild. No, you missed the point. Mandy was just talking about signs, and I was going, "Uh-oh, here we go." But the sign of the cross, it's a sign, the sign of the empty cross, is a sign of Jesus saving us from our sin. And that it shone through the darkness and the wreckage almost defiantly, saying, I'm not going to succumb to this. We were given this awesome spectacle of this wondrous symbol of Jesus' gift for us. The gift of God for us. Oh. Today in the text, Jesus is doing one of these with the Pharisees. He does this quite often in Matthew, sparring. In the text, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they say, show us a sign. Give us a sign. Now, it sounds pretty good, right? Sounds pretty kosher. Just give us a sign and we'll believe you. But they hadn't really talked to anybody, or maybe they heard and just wanted Jesus to give them their own sign. Because Jesus, up to this point, had caused a girl to rise from the dead, had driven out demons, had healed many people, including a woman who was bleeding for a lot of years. There was a lot of, driven out demons already. There were a lot of different things that Jesus had already done. Miracles. Many miracles. And now the Pharisees want Jesus to give them a sign. And Jesus says, you'll receive no sign because you're a wicked and adulterous generation. This, by the way, was a real slap in the face to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, because they are being brought back to that time before Israel was exiled, to that time where it said that broke up Israel and that sent them out into exile. That same language was being used. And Jesus says, you're going to receive no sign from me except the sign of Jonah. And so this is something that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law knew a lot about. The sign of Jonah. They knew the story of Jonah rather well. And I'll just give you a quick recap. Jonah was a prophet sent by God to go to a city called Nineveh. You can find it out in the book of Jonah yourself. He went to the city of Nineveh, or he was supposed to go to the city of Nineveh. And what did he do? He went the other way. Nineveh is north and east of Jerusalem, in modern-day Iraq. Jonah went west, straight west, on a boat. And he was bound for Tarshish, which is, you go through the Straits of Gibraltar, and you end up on the bottom side of Spain. He wanted to get as far away from God as possible. And trouble ended up happening on the sea. And Jonah got tossed overboard, and he started to drown. And a big fish came and swallowed him up. We probably remember that part best, the big fish part. And Jonah spent 3 days in the belly of the fish. 3 days of aloneness. 3 days of darkness. 3 days of hell in the belly of the fish. Jesus says today in the text, he says, it's going to be like that. This is the sign that you're going to receive. You receive when the Son of Man does the same in the belly, in the heart of the earth, in hell. If we know the rest of the story of Jonah, Jonah gets spit up on dry land. He brushes himself off as best that you can after being spit out of a fish. And he makes his way over to Nineveh after repenting to the Lord himself. He ends up going over to Nineveh and he preaches the word of the Lord there. And what happens at Nineveh? But all 120,000 people who are in that city turn from their evil ways and repent and go and follow the ways of God. The king himself of Nineveh sat in sackcloth and ashes, making himself very humble before God. the Ninevites turned. Jesus did a great, or Jonah did a great thing for Nineveh. God did a great thing through Jonah at Nineveh. Look at it that way. And Jesus did a great thing for us too, here. For the whole world, for all time. Saving it. Allowing it to turn and repent. You see, what Jesus was saying to the Pharisees at this point was that you've received that sign. You know the story. You know the story so well. In fact, you haven't memorized this story, Pharisees, teachers of the law. You know it. So don't ask for another sign of God's salvation. Do not ask for another sign of the Messiah coming. Because the sign, you don't need it. It's already there. And yet we have a sign as well. We have a sign too. We have the symbol of the cross. As Mandy pointed out, we got every day. Take a look around you at creation. And if that doesn't ring out certain love and graciousness to you, if it doesn't show you who God is, you better open your eyes. Same with this. We have this that reveals to us the scriptures, the same way that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law had the Old Testament, which was the Hebrew scriptures. We have the Old and New Testaments now, which talk to us about Christ, which talk to us about God's salvation plan for the world. We have this in front of us. We got all the signs we need. So when we go and ask for a sign, what are we doing? If we say to God, look at it this way. If we hop in our cars and go over to Circle K or the former Max Milk downtown here, and we go in there and we get our 649 ticket or Lotto Max or whatever Max, I don't know, Super 7, I don't know what they're called anymore. And we go get our lottery ticket. And we go and say, okay, God, if you're real, then I'm going to win this lottery today. And if we look at God like that, give me a free ticket, God. Come on. Pony up. If you're real, we got everything we need, folks. We got all the signs that we could ever want. And God is saying, believe those things. You don't need anything else. You have everything you could want. Believe in what you've been given. And then watch me work in you. Then watch me work. You see, because when we say, God, pony up, we are saying that we are above God. That we say we need to be pleased. That's exactly what the Pharisees were telling Jesus that day. You show us, and then we might believe you. Well, chances are is that they really wouldn't believe him anyway. But not today. Today's we need to believe him first. Believe in Jesus. Believe that he died on the cross, that the empty cross is that symbol of his death. Believe as you peer into the empty tomb, metaphorically, of course, peering into the empty tomb as it's depicted on the bulletin cover that you've all received today. On the bulletin cover that you've all received today. Believe in that. Peer into the empty tomb and see that it's empty. Believe the eyewitnesses that are found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Eyewitnesses that have shown that Jesus is alive after he died, which seems impossible. But it's only through Christ, only through God. You see, God doesn't work the way we work. He says, you believe me first, and then I will add everything to you. But first, trust me. First, just trust. And if you have trouble doing that, if you don't know what to say, if you're struggling with this idea, pray this simple prayer. Jesus, I want to know you, but I don't know how. Show me. And pray it earnestly. And watch Christ work in you. Because you're going to be blown away. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And we celebrate that today by looking at the sign of the empty tomb. Indeed, we are given signs. And so look at those signs. Look and believe. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you once again that you have given us the signs. You have given us everything that we need so that we will believe in you. You have given us everything that we need through Scripture, through creation, through interactions with others. And Lord, we trust. We trust. We believe. Help us in our unbelief. Lord, we ask that you'll be in it. Be with us. Help us to understand you more. And help us, Lord, to see you in every day. So that we're not afraid to look at the signs that you're already placing in front of us. And we're not asking, Lord, because we already believe. This is the life that we ask for, God. Bless us through the rest of the service. In Christ, amen. Let's sing a song of response.